now introduce the practice as such of equanimity. And so this is part of what is called the four Brahmas, the four Brahma Viharas, the four special abode, one could say, celestial abode of loving kindness, compassion, rejoicing, and equanimity. And again, there is the same idea of reciting the sentences. And it is true, the sentences, you have what I would say very traditional sentences, then you have what I would call semi-traditional sentences, and then you have what I would call modern sentences, like what I will suggest, modern sentences. A la Martin Batchelor. But before that, I thought it's fair enough that I mention little what I call the semi-traditional sentences, because the traditional one, I think then this would lead us in kind of a whole theological debate, which possibly I don't want to get into here this afternoon. But, or shall I tell you the three types? Are you interested? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Traditional, yes. Semi, yes. Modern. Okay, here comes. So, the traditional one is all living beings are owner of their action. All living beings have their action as their refuge. Whatever action they perform, for good or evil, to them they will fall heir. So basically this one, which is a very traditional one, can be even more traditional than that, but that's kind of like a nice version of the traditional one. And it's kind of pointing out, in terms of equanimity, that it's looking at cause and effect. But the problem I have is when the cause and effect then get linked with reincarnation, and then we kind of get into what I would call a difficult theological things. But what basically here the sentences are saying is leading to acceptance, but in a way leading to acceptance more from a theological point of view, that whatever is happening is because of cause and effect. Whatever is happening is because you might have in some ways created condition which mean that this is what you experience now. But if you take it in too personal a way, you're basically saying whatever you do and whatever you experience is because of you. But personally, I feel we live in a very multi-perspectival world. And recently I have, somebody was telling me how he was shocked that actually in India, the Tibetan were not very kind of wanting to help too much the blind young people because it was their karma. It was, you know, their condition. Maybe if they worked hard, then next rebirth it would be better. So let's say I don't really kind of personally think this is creative equanimity. I think this is what you move from cause and effect to this idea of karma as in fatalism. And personally, I don't think that's what the Buddha is talking about. I don't think he's talking about fatalism. I think he's more encouraging us to explore what I would call the meeting of the inner with the outer condition. And the Buddha is very clear that the outer condition, like he says, what we experience in any given moment is because of 8 possible conditions. And if these 8 possible conditions, only one is what he called karmic condition, which come from our personal action. But that others are caused actually by physical illness in the body, others are due to the weather, others are due to accident, and others are due to our kind of being a little kind of lost and kind of heedless. So again, when you see that he doesn't have this fatalistic view of cause and effect and in such karmic retribution. So, second one, we move a little toward more modern version. May we be undisturbed by the coming and going of events. I will care for you, but cannot keep you from suffering. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. this, I think, in the idea there, there is this idea of acceptance in the way that, yes, I can try to creatively engage with condition, but sometimes, you know, if you, I mean, once I had this this friend who suddenly, I mean, very suddenly, had one of these very, very sudden and very kind of quick cancer. So he had it, and within 6 months, he was basically dying of it. And so toward the end, he was in a hospice. And Stephen and myself, as much as we could, we went to see him there. But as we sat with him there, and he was taking lots of drugs so he could bear the pain, and he was barely conscious, I was very aware that there was nothing we could do. Mm-hmm. But I also was very aware that I could still be there with him. In a way, honor his life in this moment by being with him, and honoring our friendship by being with him, even though we could not relieve him from his suffering or stop his suffering or anything of that nature. So I think what I learned then was this kind of acceptance in the face of suffering. But again, not an acceptance in the face of suffering which leads to indifference or leads to resignation. What I think leads to, in that kind of situation, to a kind of like tragic peace with the situation. So I think that's what this is a little about, but I don't like to use them because I think first they're too long, and I think it's much easier to recite short sentences, and I think they might kind of lead a lot of people to lots of questioning about this, that, and another. Kind of, there is lots of points where we could kind of, you know, proliferate in terms of theology or idea or thing of that nature. Then there is a last version, which is a version I kind of created, which personally I feel is in a way, in terms of meditation practice, the point of the meditation practice. And it's, may I accept things as they appear? May I be balanced? May I be at peace? And of course we could say may we, may all beings, but I think in terms of equanimity, it's more about our equanimity than other people being equanimous. Because we could be sitting here thinking, may you be equanimous, you know, or else. Yeah, I mean, we can wish for other people to be equanimous, why not? But it seems to me, in terms of equanimity, we're really looking at personal equanimity. Although, of course, we can wish it to others. And so, why I suggest these sentences when we practice, when we sit, when we walk, is because I think for me each has a function in terms of this creative equanimity. The first one is acceptance. May I accept things as they appear, as they occur, as they happen. And why this phrase is because in a way, when things go fine, as I said before, it's okay. You know, generally things are humdrum, I get up in the morning, I do whatever, and generally not much happens, I mean most of the time. And then, time to time, something happens, something occurs, which in a way disturbs this kind of, you know, regular, relatively happy, peaceful life. Either it's very positive, either it's very negative, either it's surprising, either it's unexpected, either it's, I mean, it can be many different things. But to me, it's kind of acknowledging what the Buddha is trying us to become aware of. The fact that things change doesn't mean that they change constantly every second. But things can change. And things can change rather drastically. One moment you're fine, next you're not. One moment you're okay, somebody else is not. So it's kind of like, it's, for me, this appearing, occurring, is in a way looking a little at when things happen unexpectedly, which I would connect with the listening. Because what is interesting with the sound is we don't have much unless we do the sound ourselves. we don't have much control. You might have noticed today, at times it was really quiet. At times there was conversation, at times there was a drill. And in a way, we could not predict at what time any of this would happen. And so, in a way, we would sit there, and then you would have a certain sound. I mean, when you are on a meditation retreat, like at Gaia House, for example, you sit there, and generally what you have is, tweet, 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 woo! You know, and everybody, woo! I like this, you know. And it's rare that you have the drill or conversation or thing of that nature. So it happens, but not often. So here, I think in an urban environment, we have more, in a way, the possibility of this. You can never predict what is going to happen. And in a way, the unpredictability of life. And so may I accept things as they appear, as they occur, as they happen, is very much about an openness to the unpredictability of life. But some of the time it's regular, and some of the time it's not. And what do we do when suddenly, in a way, the kind of, it's like everything shifted or changed or something really happened? Are we totally disturbed, overwhelmed? Or do I accept that it is so, that it has happened? And then, with the acceptance, sorry, do I creatively engage with it? Then you have the next one. May I be stable? And to me, this is really, again, not about an idea of stability, but an experience, a feeling in the body, you could say, which kind of, in a way, reverberate in the whole being, of feeling stable. There is this image my teacher used to suggest, the image of the mountain, that when we sit in meditation, can we feel as grounded as a mountain? And he also used to suggest to feel as grounded as a mountain and as open, as vast, as ocean at the same time. So this idea again of stability and openness. But in a way, can we find, and to me that's what the meditation is partly about, finding some stability within us, building it up, developing it through the meditation, but of course also through the ethics, through the wisdom, having this kind of, what I would call this refuge within us of this stability, this kind of ground, so that even if something is difficult, we can take refuge in this stability within us, so that we still have difficult feeling possibly, but within this wider, more spacious, stable environment. And so you could have an image of a mountain or a tree, a big tree, which is really kind of, you know, there, grounded, stable. And then the last one, may I be balanced? And this is about another quality that I think can come together with the stability, is the fact that we need to find some equilibrium. We need to find some balance. So which means that balance basically doesn't mean you're kind of like on tiptoe and but it means that you can move a bit, like a kind of a reed. The reed moves a bit and generally comes back in the middle. So you move a bit and you find the balance. So in a way it's kind of trying to find the balance. To me the balance is very much about, in a way, non-amplification. That yes, we moved by things, happy things, difficult things, of course we moved with human. So we will be moved, feel very happy or feel unhappy. But how can we be moved by something in such a way that we're not disturbed by it, we're not overwhelmed by it, we actually can, in a way, bend with it a little and then come back in the middle. Bend with it a little and then come back in the middle. And so again, it's kind of like trying to find in kind of how can I find balance within myself, balance within the mind, within the heart, within the body, within the way I relate to others. Because sometimes we can have this over quality, over grasping, over rejecting, kind of, it's kind of like, and it feeds, that's a problem with this over quality, this amplifying quality, that it really can go very fast from just having a little something happening and then this being the worst thing in the universe. It's kind of like, you know, like you're waiting for somebody. 9 o'clock, he or she is not here. 9:10, he or she doesn't love me. 9:20, nobody loves me. 9:30, I hate the world. You know, I mean, we can go quite quickly. Or 9 o'clock, he or she is not here. What happened? Did they miss the appointment? Did they have something? Or what happened? So instead of moving quickly to something terrible happened or whatever it is. So this kind of moving a bit, but not moving in a way we could say overboard. And so what I would suggest with the practice now is that we kind of do it in two ways again, as with the loving kindness. You can just repeat the sentences. May I accept things as they occur, as they happen. May I be stable, may I be balanced. And the first time I introduced these phrases many years ago, I had a very interested response from one person. And that one person was a friend who came regularly to meditate and who was working for NGOs in generally abroad, trying to help orphans or people in difficulty. And he said, when he started to do the sentences, may I accept things as they occur, he said to me it was like a liberation, that he did not have to solve everything in the universe. He did not have to feel responsible for all the suffering in the universe. But he could still do what he could do. And so in a way, I think may I accept is kind of like, in a way, embracing the tragic quality of life, but without being overwhelmed by that. But also, of course, embracing, and I think this is very important, the beauty of life, and to really be aware of what is beautiful, what is beneficial, the quality that we have, that others have, that's also part of it. But generally, we cultivate that one more in the rejoicing sentences. Maybe we'll do them another time. Maybe next year I could do the rejoicing. So, you could recite the sentences, may I accept things as they occur, may I be stable, may I be balanced, and just like the loving kindness. You can also do it, if you want, that's why I introduce the breath, with the breath actually, so you don't feel like you're repeating sentences all the time, but do the breath, and then recite the sentences once or twice, back to the breath. And then back to the sentences. I think the two are very complementary. Or you can do it more in what I call the kind of the, like the experiential way. May I accept things as they occur? And then in this moment, what is it I can accept? Can I accept the sound I hear right now? Can I accept the thought I have right now? Without grasping at them? Can I accept the feeling I experience right now, or the sensation? So you could just try in that moment to see, is there some acceptance through this, what we are experiencing? May I be stable? Where can I feel some stability within my body-mind complex? Can I feel it? Personally, I feel it either in the seat, either in my belly, kind of try, where can I find some stability? Or is it a general stability we feel? Can I feel balanced? How does it feel to be balanced? How can I have this experience of balance? What does it mean? but not so analytically, but really, how does it feel in this moment? Do I feel a little balance? How does it feel? So just exploring these things for the next minutes. So I would suggest again that we just stand up for a few seconds, and then we will stretch a little. Finding a comfortable posture. Pretty straight. Shoulders are open. And gently and steadily introducing the sentences. May I accept things as they occur? May I be stable? Maybe balance. We're just going to stop, just so the people who are going to be just here, so that they can leave, and then we'll continue.